Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. Upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption groweth nigh.
Good morning, friends. This is Brother Larry Knowles, and this is the Redemption Time broadcast. I'd like to give you an invitation to stay with me for the next 30 minutes as we share a song together, and then we'll be looking into God's Word again. Still looking at the subject of the memorials that were set up there at Gilgal, as Joshua led the people of Israel out of the wilderness and across the River Jordan into Canaan land as they embark upon their life of victory there in the land that God had promised them. So we're going to give you my church announcements, and then we'll move on. We meet there on Mount Tabor Road in Maryville, Tennessee, at the Maryville Baptist Tabernacle at 9:45 on Sunday morning for our Sunday school. We begin our worship service at 10:45. We meet Sunday evening at 6 and Wednesday evening at 7. We give you an invitation to come and be in these services. Brother Rick Smeltzer is our pastor. He would be really glad to see you, as would the rest of us there in the congregation, and give you a warm welcome and a great invitation to come and be with us. Now, remember, the second Sunday in September, we will begin our week-long camp meeting there on the grounds of the church. We'll set the big tent up, and we'll have good preaching, good singing every night, 7 o'clock. We invite you to come. That'll start on Sunday. We only have the one Sunday morning service on that Sunday, but then Monday through Friday, we will be there at 7 o'clock. If you like good preaching, good singing, like the blessings of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, we ask you to just put this on your calendar. Come and be with us. Now we're going to have a song, and then I'll be back with today's message.
I'm saved.
There is no joy like knowing I'm saved, I'm sealed, and I'm going. I thought about this the other day. I'm nothing but a beggar. I'm nothing but a little piece of clay that God picked up and molded into something. And never been anything, never will be anything, worthless, sinful creature that I am. But because of my Savior, I'm saved, I'm sealed, and I'm going. I have, in the last year, grown so tired of hearing someone else has got cancer. Every time I turn around, somebody's suffering from cancer, dying from that awful plague that's upon us of called cancer. And all the other maladies of this life that comes upon us. But I'm glad that I know I'm saved, I'm sealed, and I'm going to a place where that word will never, ever be heard again. I'm going, not because I'm worthy, not because I've earned it, but because Jesus Christ, my Savior, gave me the gift of eternal life when he came into my heart, 1956, saved me by his marvelous grace. That was the Joy Heirs, and I trust that the song was a blessing to you this morning. If you don't know, this morning, if you can't sing along with old Ernie there, I know that I'm saved, I'm sealed, and I'm going. I trust that the Lord will speak to your heart today and bring you to a place of understanding your need for him. Help you to come to a place that you will confess your sin and ask him to save you. If you do that, I know he will. You can have that same confidence that Ernie and I have, that we've been saved, we've been sealed, and we're going. Now let's go to the Lord in a quick word of prayer. Our Father, we come to you this morning, and we do thank you for each one that's listening today, and for the opportunity to be here to share this time around your word with them. I thank you for the broadcast. I thank you for the radio station, for my church that puts it on their website. Thank you, Lord, for all of the ways that we get the gospel out. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and your mercy. Forgive us of our sins this morning. Help us, Lord, to look to you as we make our way through this world, that as we have setbacks and disappointments and failures, that we just allow you, Lord, to give us the grace to overcome everything and to keep going forward for you and doing the things that you would have us to do. Thank you, Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ that died in my place yonder on a cruel cross, Golgotha's hill, one day, placed in a tomb, but it couldn't hold him. In 3 days, he had to come forth, and he did. Thank God that he resurrected. Today, he's alive. Thank you, Lord, that he can live in our heart and that we can live for him. Lord, I pray for those that are listening this morning that have a need for you. I pray, Lord, first and foremost, always, is for that one that's lost, doesn't know you as their Savior. I pray that today this message will speak to the heart of someone who is near to eternity, that you'll save them before they drop off into that awful place called hell. Lord, I pray for the sick this morning and suffering, that you'll help them, give them good days, easy days, and help them along, Lord. Bless those that are brokenhearted over the loss of loved ones. Help them through the difficult days and keep them safe in your arms. And Lord, help them through all of this. Lord, we're just needy people looking to you to help us as we struggle along. Thank you for the victory that we have. We don't have to struggle through that part, just through the things pertaining to the flesh. But we know that you've won the victory in all fronts. Give us grace. Lord, to just listen to you, obey your voice, and to keep going for you. All that you do, we'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, continuing this morning in our series, talking about the memorials that were set up there at Gilgal when Israel had crossed over the River Jordan out of the wilderness into the land of Canaan, the land of promise, the land of victory. And we find that this is found in the first part of the book of Joshua. And rather than to read the entire thing again, I will just repeat the story, how that they came upon the River Jordan. Israel had been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years because of their unbelief. No one of the original party was allowed to go in, of the people, and so they had wandered around there till they were all dead. And now a newer generation is crossed over Jordan, has gone into the promised land. And as they crossed over, Joshua, on the Lord's command, had them to bring 12 stones out of the river, and they eventually set them up at the river as monuments and memorials. And as we looked at them last week, we said that they were stones that were there for a purpose. And they were there to be a reminder of the crossing of the Jordan and the great blessing that God had given them in doing so. And we said that we had looked at this and had looked at many different aspects of what these stones represented. And first of all, they represented someone that's been rescued from a undesirable environment. These stones had never been recognized as anything. They were there in the bottom of the old river, and there the old settlement was upon them, and debris was passing by and hitting upon them, maybe chipping them here and there, and they'd always been there, out of sight. Now, they've been rescued. They've been picked up, taken out of that environment, and set aright upon the land of victory. Can I say that I believe that this part of the memorial represents what God has done for those who are saved? He came to where we were, laying there in our sin, in the silt of this world, being battered by the flesh and Satan and the forces of evil that are surrounding us today, that would suck the very life out of us if we would let it, and is doing so for many today, has taken lives, countless lives, through the addictions and through the different things, resentfulness and meanness and downright criminal acts and what have you. But God is able, just as he had Joshua, to bring these stones out of that river. God is able to deliver a person out of all of that and take them out of that environment and place them in one that's more pleasant. And the Bible said that they set them upright or aright. I'm glad that when God picks us up and takes us out, he not only rescues us, but he sets us upright. He gets us out of the mire and out of the muck and out of the hostile environments, and he puts us aright, and he sets us up and allows us to stand, and gives us the strength to stand, and sets us up. And we too can be a memorial to the goodness and the mercy and the power of God if we let him set us upright. Now, Do not misunderstand me. We cannot on our own set ourselves aright. We cannot make ourselves right. We cannot get ourselves out of that situation. We have to wait until the Lord Jesus Christ. He has already paid the cost. And he's already led the way across old Chile Jordan into a land of victory. And I say to you today, my dear friend, that if you're in that environment today, this broadcast is one of the ways that the Lord Jesus Christ is reaching out to you to ask you to just come into a place of understanding him and allowing him to pick you up and take you to a better environment. And so we said that these were stones of rescue and all of the reminders. But these stones are stones of reminders. What was it? Well, it was a way to tell the story again of all that God had done for them. Don't let the story die. And so what it was is... God told them these stones will be a reminder or a sign to those future generations, and they'll ask you, why are these stones sitting here? And it'll give you the opportunity to tell them once again what God did for you there at the River Jordan the day that he delivered Israel out of the wilderness and brought them into the land that he had promised them. And I do believe that if we are standing aright after God has picked us up and set us aright, that that'll be one of the things that we do. We will be a living testimony to the power of God and what he is able to do and what he has done for us. And a testimony that what he's done for us, he can do for you. If he saved me, my friend, he can save anyone, because he saved the worst among you when he got me. I appreciate God so much for getting me out of the environment that I was in and setting me aright. And so they are stones of reminders, a way to keep the story going. And then it could also be stones of warning. If they had someone that decided that maybe the battles of the victory side were too much for them, maybe they thought, well, I think I'll just turn and go back. They had to cross Jordan to get back across, and when they got there to the Jordan, they would see those stones standing up, and they would be reminded of what God had done. Friend, I want to tell you that for 40 years, they had wandered around out there in the wilderness. The wilderness was a dry, hot, hostile environment. When we say wilderness, we think of a forest when we think wilderness. But a wilderness, as it is used here, was a desert, a vast desert. It was dry. There was hunger out there in the desert. There was nothing to eat. There was no water. There was thirst out there in the desert. The people were constantly grumbling, complaining. They were dissatisfied. And when they were there, many of them wanted to go back. Well, friend, once you cross over that Jordan into the land of victory in your Christian experience, you realize that you really don't want to go back to the way it was when you were just struggling along. And God wanted them as a reminder or a warning that you do not want to go back and forget the great blessings that God has bestowed upon you. But then there was a second set of stones that were set up in the midst of the stream. So what do these represent? We'll look at that next. So what does this second set of stones mean to us, and what do they represent? Well, We already know that the passing through the Jordan represents to the Christian that passing from the life of defeat to a life of victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it can also represent the death of the old life as we move into a new life given to us through the salvation event that God puts in our life through the Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood. But it can represent, these stones represent something, and just how does it equate to passing from that wilderness to Canaan? Well, how can we reach this life of victory? Because to us in the flesh, it does seem so out of reach that sinful man could ever become victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ in their day-to-day life. Well, I believe the Apostle Paul answered that question for us twice in his epistles. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul wrote this, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So, these stones, which had been there hidden, they are now been brought out, and those have been set up. Yet they still can't be seen. They are hid, so to speak, there in the bottom of the river. But then I believe that Colossians 3, 1 through 3 even explains it better. Paul said, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." So he said that we have died to the old life, and we're hid in Christ, so that sin cannot find us. The penalty of sin cannot find us because we are hid in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said he was crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live. He said, yet it's not me, but it's Christ living in me. If I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, if I am what I am supposed to be for Christ, my old self is dead, and Christ is living through me, and is an example, makes me an example of what he can do, not what I can do, for I can do nothing. The Bible, Jesus told us when he was here, without me, you can do nothing. He told his disciples that, and that's exactly the way it was then, and that's the way it is now. Without him, we can do nothing. But if we're crucified with Christ, he lives, not us. It's him that we want people to see, not me. I want to be hid in him. I don't want you to look at me. If you look at me, you'll be disappointed. If you look at me, you'll find faults. You'll find failures. But if you look at him, you'll find nothing but perfection. Lord, help me to die daily. Paul said that's what he had to do. He said, I have to die. He said, I die daily. I have to put the Lord's will ahead of my will every day. That's what it means to be crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I don't live to myself. I live in the Lord Jesus Christ. I live hidden in him. Oh, friend, listen. just like the song that I played for you this morning. There's nothing like knowing that you're saved, you're sealed, and you're going. I wonder this morning if we just stopped right here and just thought for a minute, where will you be this time tomorrow? Can you guarantee that you'll be safe and sound, that you'll still be here? No. None of us know that. We don't know from one minute to the next. We certainly don't know from one day or one week, a month, or a year at the time where we'll be. But I do want you to know that there's nothing like knowing that when that time comes, when the grim reaper catches up with us, that we don't have to worry about where we're going. Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't want to leave my family. I want to stay with them as long as I can. And yet, if death finds me, I know that the Lord Jesus Christ has saved me, and He has hid me inside Himself. He's inside of me, and I'm inside of Him. I cannot explain that. Neither can anybody else that I'm aware of. But it's true. Friend, let me ask you today. If today is your last day, where are you going? If death finds you today, where will you be tomorrow? Oh, if you can't confidently say, I'll be in heaven, then I just want to invite you, dear friend, to think about this precious Savior, one who was in heaven there with His Father and was enjoying the glory that He had. And yet, here we were down here, so to speak, under the river's water, being battered by sin, shame. And He came, and He found us, and He lifted us up, and He's able to do that for you today. He came and paid the sin debt yonder on Calvary, and He died in my place and in your place. They buried Him, set a watch on His tomb so nobody could steal His body and say He rose. Oh, but they didn't have to steal that body. That body was resurrected by the power of God, and He walked out of that tomb resurrected, whole, ready to save. Friend, He's ready to save you today. If the Lord's spoken to your heart, I want to encourage you to come to a place that you'll just bow your head someplace and humbly ask the Lord to look upon you with mercy, to forgive you of your sins, and to be saved before He is everlastingly too late. Father, I pray that you'll take this message now and apply it to the heart of someone that needs to know you. Maybe a discouraged Christian, Lord, realize that they are dead and hid in Christ. And maybe, Lord, if there's one out there that's wandered away, that they understand that you're always ready for them to come back. But, Lord, most of all, if there's one out there that's lost, close to eternity, I pray that today be the day they'll turn around and accept you as their Savior and be saved before it's too late. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to give you an invitation to be back next week at the same time and encourage someone else to listen to the broadcast. If you fail to catch one of these broadcasts, you can get it on, go to MaryvilleBaptist.org, and you will find us on our church website under Redemption Time. And this is something the church does, and I appreciate it so much. And so if you would like to listen that way, you can. And then I only invite you to come back next week. If you have a comment about the broadcast, you could text me at 865-776-5872. May God bless you and keep you until we're together again in a week, the Lord's willing.